The information discussed by the host and guests on this talk show is meant to be informational only. Listening or calling in to ask questions for our guests does not create a patient-doctor relationship. Rely on your own doctor or healthcare provider's medical advice to treat or diagnose any conditions you may have. Nothing discussed on this talk show is meant to replace your doctor's medical advice. You should never stop your current medical treatments or delay getting medical treatment because of anything presented in this program. If you want more information about a medical condition or treatment discussed on this program, talk to your doctor.
It's time for Health Check with Heidi Godman, a daily dose of health and wellness information. Call or text Heidi your questions at 373-1220. That's 373-1220. And now here's Heidi Godman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. Hope you're doing well on this wonderful day. We have a very, very interesting program today, and it's the kind of thing that affects every single one of us. I mean, really, all the health and wellness things we talk about every day affect all of us. But sometimes we focus more on one issue or another, or one particular illness or ailment than another. Today, we are talking about something that really potentially could affect every one of us. And that is the nursing shortage that we are facing, not only here on the Sun Coast, but across the country. So we are really in the throes of this. It's been going on for years, and it could potentially have a huge impact on your health if you stay in a hospital. Who's going to be taking care of you? You know, the physicians, the surgeons, the doctors, these folks are patching us up or fixing things. But who is doing the work and taking care of us hour by hour in our hospitals? It's the nurses, and it's also the certified nursing assistants. But with a shortage of these folks on hand, how is that going to affect your health? Will there be people to take care of you? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for the future? What's that going to look like? Why is this even happening to begin with? And since it has been going on for years, why are we still facing it? We are about to find out. My guests today are from Sarasota Memorial Hospital. We have Julie Tierney, who's an advanced practice nurse at Sarasota Memorial. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hi. We also have Melissa Shelton, who is the simulation program coordinator. Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
Hi. Now, before we get going and talking about the shortage and what's causing it and what the numbers look like and all that, you are both nurses sitting here in your scrubs, and I know you've buzzed over here from the hospital, and I want to find out a little bit about what you do, because everybody listening and I, we all know you and your colleagues, you are the unsung heroes in the hospitals, in the doctor's offices. And thank you, first of all, for everything that you and your colleagues do. But tell me a little bit about what you do. Julie, why don't you start us off?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us. I am what is called an advanced practice nurse. So I act as a clinical educator, overseeing the education process initially as well as ongoing for a large group of staff within the hospital, as well as house-wide education that I am able to continue to do that.
So it's all about education.
It's all about education and ensuring that our staff have the absolute highest quality of education so that our patients can be given that.
Yeah, you were telling me before we went on, you know, you don't just want the nurses to be competent. You want them to be experts. And I was so impressed at the way you said that was, you know, just such determination and pride, too, I think, which is wonderful. And Melissa, you also are involved with education. Tell us.
I am. I am a PhD prepared nurse. I work in the education department. And my role is really centralized to the entire organization, working with the different units and primarily focused on simulation education and how we can train our nurses and healthcare professionals using simulated patients to improve the care for our patients and improve the practice of our nurses and physicians and healthcare providers.
Now, what you both do, I think, is worthy of a show. I mean, we could just talk all about the education and using the simulation dummies and, you know, all of those very interesting things. But today we happen to be talking about the nursing shortage. How long have we been struggling through this? I mean, it's been more than 10 years, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been much more than that. I mean, we go back to the Depression era, and there were many reasons for the nursing shortage at that time. And the reasons now are vastly different than they were then.
So we had it, and it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. And what about the numbers now, Melissa? What can you tell us? Do we have any idea of what it might look like here on the Sun Coast or nationally?
Nationwide, there are about 2.74 million nurses. And then by the year 2020, we're going to need about 3.4 5 million nurses to cover the healthcare of our nation.
Wait, you're saying in 3 years we need
2020. So that's our goal.
We have more than a million nurses we suddenly need to come up with. How many nurses are we producing in schools every year? It can't be a million.
It's not a million.
Yeah.
The local area in Thoreau, and we are trying to accomplish that goal, but there are barriers, like Julie mentioned. Some of it is we don't have enough slots in our schools to train enough nurses to cover that gap, or the PhD-prepared faculty to teach those nurses that are coming through. We definitely have individuals who are interested in going into healthcare, but we don't have the capacity to train all of those individuals to meet that goal at
this
point.
Sure. And I know Sarasota Memorial Hospital is doing so much to combat this problem and has been engaged for quite a while now in this outreach to make a difference and turn it around. But it's a challenge, no matter if it's Sarasota Memorial or Brigham and Women's Hospital or whatever the hospital might be anywhere in the country. Everyone is looking at this potential problem. So it doesn't necessarily mean there's a shortage of nurses at a particular hospital. It just means that nationally, we know this is going on and we've got to really be proactive and stay ahead of it. And that's exactly what Sarasota Memorial and many other hospitals are doing, which is great. But let's delve into a little bit more about why this is going on. Now, Melissa, you've been talking about we in some cases don't have enough education, the slots, not enough training available to meet the demands. But I know that there are other issues going on. Julie, what can you tell us?
Well, part of it also is nurse retention. When you have an environment where it is difficult for a nurse to function, they're not going to continue to work in that environment. They're either going to leave the field or they're going to go on to a different area. So that is a huge factor in relation to the shortage itself.
No, you're talking about retaining nurses, and it's tough because the environment. Why? Because it's a grueling job to begin with?
Well, it is a hard work. There's no question about that. But if you make your environment a positive one and you let your staff know, first of all, that they're appreciated and you give them the opportunities for growth, then you're going to have the ability to be able to build many nurses from even that lower level.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about patient care assistants that want to be nurses, and they need to be given that opportunity.
You know, to me, the job of a nurse is so, so challenging. Just the idea of having to work an average 12-hour shift. You know, anytime I've been in the hospital with a loved one, I'm talking to nurses. How long are you here? 12 hours. 12 hours. Oh, that's normal. 12 hours. How do you do it? And I know doctors work those kind of hours, too. In fact, my nephew right now is a resident in surgery, and I think he's working maybe 16 hours a day. How do you do it?
I think actually most nurses appreciate the 12-hour shifts. And if you really enjoy the work that you're doing and the people that you're working with, the time doesn't really seem that long.
Sure.
Your days fly by in most cases.
I bet.
I think it's such a rewarding feel that, yes, it's hard and there are tough days, but you do get so much back from the work that you do that I think the 12-hour shifts really are not
so that's
a factor.
No, it's like, yeah. There's nothing hard about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You say that, but I mean, come on, 12 hours. That's hard for
me. I don't mean hard in the context that the work isn't hard.
Yes.
But I just left the bedside 6 months ago. I mean, I was a bedside nurse for over 20 years. And I can tell you that when you are devoted to the profession and it really, truly is your passion, it is not a difficult thing to be doing. And for me, it was a given when we went from an 8 to a 12-hour shift because you have better continuity of care. Your patients appreciate you. Your staff knows. And it's just, it's a given that it's a much better transition.
Well, I have said this before and I'll say it again. The nurses at Sarasota Memorial are angels. I mean, and the fact that you could even say, oh, this is a great thing that it's 12 hours. I think that alone shows that this is a calling, that the people who do it are devoted, that they love what they do. And I think you would probably have to love what you do. Tell me a little bit, Melissa, about a typical day for a nurse. What does a nurse do?
Well, they're going to see all their patients. They're going to plan their day for their patients and identify the goals, what we want to accomplish for the patient. And ultimately, we're trying to get them well so they can go home and be with their families. We're partnering with the other healthcare professionals and the patient to come up with, okay, what do we want to accomplish today? and really working towards that next step to get those patients home.
Right. And there's a difference between what a nurse does and what a certified nursing assistant is doing. And so tell us about that difference.
They all work together.
Right.
They First do. Of all, you have a team. If you didn't have the function of that team as a whole, you're not going to get the kind of quality care that you need to get. So that patient care assistant has those skills that they're responsible for, but they work side by side with that nurse to guarantee that that patient's needs are going to be met, their family needs are going to be met, every level of care can be met.
Right. I guess I'm just trying to give our listeners an idea of you know, what's involved. So the doctor is coming in maybe mm-hmm. once a day, maybe more than that, mm-hmm. typically, and making an assessment. The nurses are carrying out the doctor's orders mm-hmm. and giving out the medication and taking, they don't take the blood pressure. No, that's the certified nursing assistant, right?
Well,
it depends. Tell us about the different jobs.
It depends. I mean, a certified nursing assistant in the hospital is what's called a patient care technician. So they're going to come in, they're going to do some of those minor level things. And I don't say minor in a negative way. I just mean bathing the patient, helping the patient to go to and from the bathroom, assisting the patient with certain types of things like that. Now, your basic vital signs, your blood pressure, pulse, things like that, your temperature, certainly can be taken by that patient care technician initially, but if you have a patient that requires a higher level of care, i.e. a cardiac patient, those types of patients, a nurse is going to be responsible for those vital signs. But that technician and that nurse are the ones that are the eyes and ears of that patient. They know the patient's changes. They know everything that's going on with them. So that patient care technician plays an unbelievably vital role.
Absolutely. It's an incredible team. And the nurses and the patient care technicians, they are the backbone of the hospital. And I think everybody would agree with that.
So I would say with the patient care technicians too, they're collecting data for the nurses and for the physicians. And then the nurses are taking that data, that information, and then interpreting. So what's changed? So if the patient care technician took the blood pressure and the pulse, reports that back to the nurse, and then the nurse can evaluate, okay, this has changed. What do we need to do next? Do we have an order for it already? If not, then we need to consult with the physician to find out what do we need to do next. So every person does play an important part. The interpretation is left for the nurse, whereas the patient care technician is really collecting.
And the nurse sometimes acts as a liaison, too, between the patient and the family and the doctor, right? I mean,
it's a constant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. So much that nurses do for us every single day, and they don't always get those big kudos. They don't get all the praise. So we want to praise those nurses today and say thank you to all of them for everything they are doing. And we want to talk about how we can get more people to become nurses. Sarasota Memorial has been very, very innovative in the way it is taking the lead in this and encouraging more women and men to get into the jobs of nursing. And we want to find out what's going on with that, but we need to take a quick break. So everybody, please stick around. More with the nurses from Sarasota Memorial Hospital, Julie Tierney and Melissa Shelton, in just a second. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back.